Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 31 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm a little bored, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could say the same. Not too much going on recently. I mean, a little bit of Yankees, a little bit of Knicks, Rangers recap, but other than that, nothing really spectacular. That's
maybe. Yeah. We're going to drive ourselves crazy about that for the next like couple months, potentially.
Bored.
Yeah, dude, the Knicks and Rangers have been losing, so it's not like we want to make the shows. We're just like, I think the Rangers are on a 4-game losing streak. The Knicks are on a 3-game losing streak. Yeah, it's rough. We're in the rough patch of the year. These are the dog days of sports, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than talking about politics. We'll never make this political show, obviously, but there's not really much to do right now. It's just kind of bleh, same old, whatever, nothing really special going on.
You know, it's funny you say that because the politics world is nuts right now.
That is true. We got a lot of
there's a lot of stuff going on.
The economy, I mean, it always is, but stock world, GameStop, crazy.
Stocks, baby, stocks.
So, you know, before, I mean, we're not going to get into any political stock, economy, whatever right now.
It's just funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Interesting
but,
thing.
Well, let's go into the Knicks real quick, just because, might as well. Why not? Knicks, obviously.
It's like a short show, for being honest.
Yeah, exactly. Knicks not really doing too much. Obviously, they beat the Warriors last time we had a episode, and then they lost three straight. They came close against Portland after trailing by a lot.
Dude, but I really thought they were going to win that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, just ugly games, though, overall.
They're really, really ugly games. Sacramento, that was a really winnable one that they lost. That was kind of a pain. And then you got Portland and Utah that are two. More so, Utah, the Jazz are really good. Mm. And they played really well in the second half. And we got shellacked in the second half of that game. You could tell that's like an end-of-the-road trip, kind of like drag-it-out kind of game. And then the Portland game, they got down early and they played well in the second half, and then it wasn't enough because they're a good team. But I know it get made fun of for like bright spots, good things, blah blah blah. We're getting there. Emmanuel Quickley's playing really well. I don't know why he's starting. Alfred Payton is far and beyond the worst player on the Knicks every time he's on the court.
Yeah, I don't understand how he just continues to get playing time. Maybe Tom Thibodeau has a weird obsession with him, as what we've seen over the past few games, but I don't understand why he still gets playing time, especially with the amount of potential talent and actual talent that this Knicks team has.
IQ dropped 31 against the Blazers, and he had an off night against the Jazz, but everyone had an off night against the Jazz. Mm-hmm. I think Julius Randle's continued to play really well, so he's not really of note. His numbers have taken a little bit of a dive lately, but like he's not playing bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, look, nobody.
He's playing way better defense than last year.
Look, compared to last year, he's playing incredible. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, he had a very weird, almost MVP-like run, and obviously, like nobody really expected that, so it was inevitable that was going to die down eventually. And you know what? He's still playing
better. He's still the best player on the team.
Yeah, exactly. So you really can't complain that much. He's definitely been a bright spot, something that I didn't expect at the beginning of the season. Look, the Knicks right now are 8-11. They've gone 3-7 in their past 10. Not really anything special. They are currently eighth. They're tied for eighth in the Eastern Conference. They're 5 games back.
The weird thing about that is that they lost 5 in a row, and then they won 3, and now they've lost 3. They're a really inconsistent team.
Let's hope they win the next 5 then. I mean, they've got a bit of a hard schedule coming up. They play the Cavs tomorrow night.
Tomorrow. And that's incredible at home. And we're 1-1 against Cleveland. They have the Clippers on Sunday. And see, here's the thing about the Clippers game, dude. That's totally a game they would win, bro.
It's a Knicks thing to do. It is a Knicks thing to win a random game against a good
Sunday
team.
Afternoon against the Clippers. That's a win. Just kidding. But there's just a little minor annoyances. Like the defense has played a little bit worse lately. Overall, the defense has been really good this season. I can't for the life of me understand why Alfred Payton gets the minutes he does. Like IQ might be a little inconsistent, but of course he will be. He's a rookie. He's going to have great nights and he's going to have not so great nights. But we're at the point where like, I just want to see the kid play.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd like to see Obi Toppin play a little more because I think this year is more about valuing development over winning games. And it'd be nice if they could sneak into the lower seeded playoff part, but you know, we don't know how realistic that is.
Emmanuel Quigley has been, I think you could, it's safe to say a top seven rookie so far this year.
I think it's safe to say top five rookie.
See, that's what I thought, but then I saw a few, like a graphic on the Knicks game, or not the Knicks game, whatever games were on last night. And I was like, okay, you know what? That's kind of fair. I think that he's up there with like five, six, seven around that range.
Yeah.
There are obviously some people in front of him, but I think that overall, like,
you know why? Because he's not getting the same minutes as some of these other rookies.
Exactly. Look, he has shown to be a very, very solid pick in terms of one, the placement of where he was drafted.
Value. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I just think that Emmanuel Quickly is someone that this Knicks team needs to push forward with as their potential starting point guard. And, you know, I saw some rumors that were saying that the Knicks might be interested in Derrick Rose, which I honestly think could be a cool little reunion with him.
If they get rid of Alfred Payton and said deal, I'm okay with him being a part of the rotation. Exactly. I would rather Emmanuel Quickly start. And here's the thing. I'd say he'd have even better numbers if he got more consistent minutes, if he knew when he was playing, if he started every game, if he got to be on the unit with Randall and RJ and Mitch every time. It could be a little different, you know. Some minor things. You'd like to see Alec Burks play a little better. He's been kind of inconsistent. He hasn't been shooting the ball as well. Kevin Knox has quieted down a little bit lately. Obi Toppin has just been meh, you know. Yeah,
nothing special.
Nerlens Noel sucked. Nerlens Noel is terrible, just like Alfred Payton. I don't know what the Knicks are going to do with Frank Ntilikina, because I don't want to extend him, but he's not playing right now. I don't know how we're going to – I feel like he's going to get dealt, but
– I can't see a world where he doesn't get dealt, because, you know, I think
he's
that
he's not going to get extended. He's not, you know, like
– he's worth, like, holding on to. I just don't understand why they're still holding on to him if they're just not going to play him.
Right. Right. Yeah, no. Frank Ntilikina, like, I've never disliked him, but, like – it just doesn't make sense, I guess. Not at all. Yeah, there are a couple things the Knicks are doing weird, but it's nothing unexpected. Obviously, there are better stats better records so far this year than they've had to start the last couple of years, you know? Like, 8-11 is nothing to, like be like, wait, well, you don't do a double take, but, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean – this Knicks team has obviously a long way to go. I think I'm going to agree with what you said before, that they really need to focus on evaluating more than winning games right now, just because they have so much young talent that is yet to be discovered. And, you know, we don't really know what we're going to do with them, that kind of thing. Then I think that it's definitely possible that the Knicks are able to kind of potentially slip into a 7-8 seed, but.
Dude, even 9-10 with the way it's formatted now, like to get into that game.
Yeah, that's like, true.
You know about the
weird format. About that. Yeah, the new format. I think that, I don't know, this Knicks team has a lot of potential. It's just got to kind of be, it just has to be showcased better. And I think that's not going to happen if you just continue to play Alfred Payton the way that you're playing him and the way
he's
that.
He's not even winning us games or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you're keeping, like, it's not like the Jets dragging out Frank Gore in there, because, like, he might be the most talented running back on the roster. But, like, it's not good for development. You know what I mean? It's not one of those instances. Like, the Knicks are, like, I saw a graphic that, like, advanced metric-wise, he's the worst offensive and defensive player on the court. And, like, that's obviously valued on the amount of minutes he gets as well. But it's just detrimental to the team. And there are spurts of Knicks basketball this year where you're like, man, they look great out there. Like, the way they're moving the ball, this and all that. And then Emmanuel quickly misses a shot, and he comes out, and Alfred Payton comes in, and everything becomes stagnant again. Because he can't space the floor. He can't shoot. He can drive pretty well, but he's kind of inconsistent. His defense is incredibly overrated and has been very poor this year. And in this point in the Knicks' development, it just doesn't make any sense for him to be starting.
Look, if the Knicks do decide to trade for Derrick Rose, which honestly I don't see it happening, but I think it would be a pretty cool reunion. That one, I want to pray for his knees, because, you know, he doesn't have a very good history with Tom Thibodeau and his knees. If Alfred Payton isn't involved in that deal, then what's the point? Because you're just holding on to,
like, you're either holding on to Alfred Payton or not playing IQ. And not playing IQ would be a terrible, I don't think they would do that. but it would be very Knicks-y if they did. That would be very Knicks-y.
But honestly, like, it, this next week coming up, they have the Cavs, the Clippers, the Bulls twice. That's it for this week. I think that it's definitely possible that they should win at least two of those. I think that they could take the Bulls probably two times, but I think that they'll probably find a way to lose at least one of them. And then against the Cavs or the Clippers, I mean, it's not very obvious for a win. I mean, the Cavs aren't that great, but
Like one more win than us, and we're 1-1 against them. I don't know. Like, I like the way we played the Cavs the first time. Like, that's a game. Or if we play that game having 1-2 in a row instead of lost four in a row prior, they win that game.
You know, realistically, the Knicks should win three out of the next four. But knowing the Knicks, that's not going to happen. If they go 2-2, I think that's enough just to continue to stay in that kind of like 8-9 slot in the playoffs. I mean, right now it's way too early to. Obviously.
Yeah, right now everything's very close and like you can't really count anything, but they're a very streaky team, which makes sense with like, I guess they're not like a young team, but like they've got guys like RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley that are playing big roles that are young, and like Julius Randle's not an old man, like, and he can't do everything, like he's not Superman. And then, like, there's just not enough, like, talent for them to just win these games when they don't play incredibly well, when they don't play great defense. And it's showing. Like, the cracks are starting to show a little bit. Like, it feels like they get back to 500 and then they take three steps back. It's very frustrating, but it's not unexpected at the same time.
No, it's completely expected at this point. I think that's honestly about it for the Knicks. There's not that much to talk about right now. Hopefully we'll have some good news. Maybe their inconsistency has an upwards trend this time, as it should be.
They're like the Mets of 2020, dude.
Yeah, but like, look, right now they're coming off a losing streak. The last time they came off a losing streak, they won a couple straight. So maybe they'll do that this time. I don't know. We'll see. Knicks, blah.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, I guess they can only go up from the last three games. So that's good.
All right, let's move it over to some hockey. The Rangers playing. The Rangers have also not had the best week. Couple losses, just nothing really special going on, really.
Some tough losses, though, like the loss to the Devils, that one kind of stings because it's like that's your Hudson River rival, and then you put 50 shots up, you know, and you expect to win a game, or you shoot the puck 50 times on net and you lose. That stinks, you know, especially by one. The Pittsburgh loss in a shootout is really frustrating. Some phantom goals for the Penguins there, and like if you win that one, you maybe you win the second one too, and then you don't go into Buffalo looking so flat. But they've lost four in a row now. They're 1-3-1, and it's a 56-game season.
Yeah, I mean, it's the games this year are obviously, because of the season, much more valuable. I think right now, starting off the season, you win your second game and then drop the next four. That's not something you want to see. Yeah. But
in any season, especially not a short game.
Yeah, of course. But obviously now it means a lot more. They play tonight. I think that they definitely could win. Who are they playing? I think they're playing Buffalo, right?
They are playing Buffalo. Yeah, it's got to be a bounce. You can't get swept again. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that it's definitely time for the Rangers to bounce back. I think that it's possible. This should be because right now the Rangers shouldn't be playing the way that they are.
They're better than 1-4-1. And here's the thing, it's frustrating to watch, and I get really mad, but they're the youngest team in the NHL.
Yes,
losing those types of games are going to help them win those types of games over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And like when this core gets a little older, like Lafreniere hasn't scored a goal yet, Keandre Miller scored his first goal on Tuesday night. So that was nice to see. But the top six forwards aren't playing that great. Like Zibanejad and Panarin and those guys, Chris Kreider, like your veteran leadership, your star players, if they're not scoring and they're not it looks like they're just skating around doing cardio, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, yeah, no, that's about it. I don't really have that much to say about the Rangers. I only watched two out of their four losses, and even then I didn't watch them all the way through, but it's just like, I don't know, I expected a little more.
At least it's been inconsistent, you know, like
yeah,
we were spoiled with one of the greatest goalies who ever lived for the last 15 years, and now we've got two young goaltenders that are kind of finding their way around. It's a tandem, they can't really get in a rhythm. And like Igor Shesterkin's a guy that lost 18 games over 3 years in Russia. Like he's going to find it. You know what I mean? He's going to get there. But some of these goals that he's letting in, man, you're just like, oh, like that's just ugly. And completely. You know, you win that game against the Penguins on Sunday if he makes two easy stops. And then Tuesday night, they just looked completely flat against the Sabres for the whole second period. And you can't afford to have really terrible periods as a young team and expect to like come back and be fine. They're just playing kind of slow right now. And I'm having some questions on whether David Quinn is the answer behind the bench for the Rangers. It might be a little bit early on to start calling for his head, but 1-4-1, like it's not going to cut it.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
Yeah. And like, I struggle to see if he's the guy to be like leading a young team. Cause so far he hasn't really done that. You know what I mean? Like I keep reminding myself 7 of the guys on the roster are 22 or younger. And it's just these little frustrating things. It seems like every mistake they make is going against them right now. And that's just hockey. So, yeah, just gotta bounce back. It, like Chris Kreider said the other day, like every guy in that room needs to learn how to hate losing.
Yeah. So,
I think that's exactly right.
Young team, a lot of season left. We'll see. I think that's about it for the Rangers.
Yeah. They're losing games. So it's just like same with the Knicks, like they're losing games. So it's like, what can we really say? Like, oh, here's why they're losing. Well, everyone knows why they're losing. And we just need to talk about how they're going to get better. I don't know. That's not my job. Mm. So win tonight. And then you got Pittsburgh again. And like, obviously it's all divisional games. You got Pittsburgh and then Washington, who's been the best team in the East. So, yeah, start bouncing back. You got to start playing well sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in another lottery situation like they had the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, completely. All right, well, let's head over. Just talk a little bit of Jets. Nothing really to say other than the fact that Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade. It's come out. Adam Schefter, Andy, and Rappaport reported it this morning.
Officially, not speculating.
I mean, the Texans hired the Baltimore passing game coordinator as their head coach. Just, it was pretty obvious that Deshaun Watson was not coming back.
Yeah, no matter who they hired, that organization has just like done nothing for him. Like they traded away his best weapon, and it makes sense that he would want out.
Look, all I'm gonna say is that right now the Jets have the best sort of package that they could give to the Texans in order to
Thinking that as well.
Like right now, out of all the teams that could be potentially interested in Deshaun Watson, obviously it depends on his no trade clause if he wants to come to the Jets. That was an original report. I don't know how true it was, but the Jets right now have so much to give where it's definitely something that they should be looking at, where this should be their number one priority as of right now with Joe Douglas as GM. You know what? You have a new coach that Watson does like, apparently. I mean,
Sala was a defensive guy, right? So like, I don't know how much that would change like the conversation. Building a culture, you know, like that's something I always make fun of Dave Gettleman saying, but it's important in football. Only difference is Dave Gettleman is a hypocrite and he hasn't built a culture. But
there was a report that said that Watson was a fan of Sala and that's why the Jets were at the top of his list. I think that was proven fake, but at the same time, I don't know. It was by some guy from the Miami Herald. I don't know how true that is. But look, regardless, I think that this Jets team is something that, first off, I do want to say Allen Robinson has.
I saw that. That was very cryptic this morning.
He liked multiple tweets involving like new team, whatever, and tweeted 5-7 hours ago, only time will tell, with a wink.
And fade. We don't know what that means. Let's Nobody be real. We don't know anything about where Allen Robinson wants to go yet. I have a good feeling he won't be in Chicago, but yeah,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah. We don't know what that means, but at the same time, it's like, oh, like you can't help but be like, oh, that might be a Deshaun Watson. They've been talking like whatever it is.
I think that it wouldn't surprise me that regardless of if Deshaun Watson goes to the Jets or if he goes to any other team, I wouldn't be surprised if Allen Robinson attempts to follow him if the team has enough cap. But look, I just want to say two like tweets from Allen Robinson over the past few days has been Richard Sherman's advice to Deshaun Watson, which says I'd get out of there as quickly as possible and I head to New York about going to the Jets. And he also liked the Robert Saleh quote saying, get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. Look, yeah. If that doesn't say anything about the potential. Look, if the Jets are able to get Deshaun Watson, look, another one right here, Texans and Jets mock trade that he liked. I'm just going through right now his likes on Twitter. It's all just pointing to the fact that if the Jets are able to get Deshaun Watson, it's a very high shot that it would be a lot easier to sign some of these big name free agents, not even just Allen Robinson. I mean, I don't know how possible that is. I don't know how that would fit into the Jets cap situation. Right now, they've got a great cap situation, so it shouldn't be a problem, but I don't know with the addition of Deshaun Watson. But Allen Robinson is an extremely talented wide receiver and is not, I think he's the best free agent wide receiver this year. So the Jets would be crazy not to realize that if they were able to get Deshaun Watson, they would be able to fill this team with multiple other stars or just solid players that would make them at least a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about that. Like, I hate to be like the downer about this, but you have to remember how bad the Jets were this season.
Of course.
They were really historically bad for a couple of weeks. They did get two wins in the last couple of weeks, but the Jets were a really, really, really bad football team this year. And I think it's like Deshaun Watson also played for a really, really bad football team this year. Like, we don't know how much that could change things, obviously. And the Jets have a lot of cap space and they've got a new head coach that's building a good culture, a hire that I think Jets fans can be proud of. And, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. You can turn around a football team in 1 year. They did it in San Francisco. They've done it in a few other places. They did it with the Rams when McVay came in, where you can just turn around build a whole winning culture just overnight. You know?
I hope so, man. I don't think
it has happened. That's what I'm trying to say. And you're right. The Jets have the best package. They could trade the second pick. They could trade the 23rd pick. They could trade a future first, another second, and Sam Darnold. And that's as good a package as you're going to get.
I also just think that the Jets right now, look, right now I am putting myself in a scenario where I'm prepared to hear the news that he's going to get traded to the Patriots or the Dolphins or the
Broncos. I want him to go anywhere but Washington.
That's fair. No, but like, yeah,
if he comes to New York, that's great. If he doesn't, that's great. If he doesn't go to the Washington football team, anywhere but there.
Look, I'm prepared to hear the news that he,
please don't go to Washington.
I'm prepared to hear the news that he's not going to the Jets. If in the event that he does go to the Jets, I will record my live reaction. Regardless of if it's in school or anything like that, I will be jumping around and being very happy. I'll post it on the Instagram account. I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen, though. I would be extremely delighted if it did, but I just can't see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, like,
right, I have a video of me after the Yankees signed Garrett Cole. Like,
I have a 20 right now. I think there's like a 20% chance that the Jets are able to get Deshaun Watson, which
I think that's fair.
That's a 1 in 5.
I think they have the highest percentage right now, today, on January 28th. Is that the date? Yeah.
Yes.
On January 28th, right now, the Jets, I think, have the highest odds of any team. He's not going to be Houston Texan next year. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, 100%. No.
He will hold out before he plays another game in that uniform.
Well, Houston has leverage on him. They've made it clear that they do want to keep him for next year, but I don't think that he's going to allow that.
Yeah, why would he? He wouldn't play or – when's he a free agent anyway? Soon.
No, because he just signed the extension.
Why did he do that?
Because he probably didn't realize how.
I was thinking his free agent year must be coming up, and that, bro, he would have been a free agent this year.
Yeah, not the smartest. You know what? He got his money. He got paid. It's this, as long as he's able to keep that contract to the next team that he goes to.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean. Look, I think that it would have been a much smarter idea to go into free agency, but
I guess
too late now.
A bad team the last 2 years before this year, and I guess he's just so disgruntled with the way they handled things that he's just done with it, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't blame him. Like, I don't think this is a diva thing at all. Like, the Texans have historically been really good at disgruntling their star players, trading them away, doing all this type of dumb stuff. And you know, this is nothing out of the ordinary from that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think him coming to the Jets would be really exciting. And I think if Sam, it's either Darnold or Watson will be the quarterback for the Jets next year.
Look, I don't know. There's so many names that have been thrown around. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets try to go for Matthew Stafford. They could definitely draft either Fields or Jones or Wilson. I don't think that they should necessarily.
I don't think they should draft any of those guys.
I think that right now the Jets' number one priority should be Deshaun Watson. That's about it.
I just hope Stafford or Watson doesn't end up in Washington. That's my football take for this week.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, honestly, I think that's about it for the Jets. Nothing really from the Giants. Let's switch over to the Yankees real quick. They made a few – it was a few trades, right?
Yeah, they made a couple moves last
year. Yeah, just tiny ones, but obviously there was one that highlighted it a little more.
There was two.
Because Ottavino's gone too.
Yeah, that was the second one. Yeah, no, the Yankees have been – ever since they re-signed DJ like a week or two ago, they've been kind of – They've made like four or five moves since then. So they were really, really quiet for 2 months, and they were like really stuck on those DJ negotiations. And I thought that they were just sitting on their hands, but I guess they were getting that done. And he officially signed the extension today. The Kluber and the DJ press conferences were today. And then the Yankees traded for Jameson Taillon on Sunday for four prospects. That's a low risk, high reward kind of play right there. They gave low level prospects for a guy that has a ton of upside, but no guarantees. Gerrit Cole seems to really like him. They were teammates in Pittsburgh, so that's always reassuring, because if you get the second best pitcher in the world on your back, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, like that's just a good look. And then the following day to clear up cap space. Oh, the Yankees did a third thing. They signed O'Day the other day or yesterday.
Yes, I forgot about that.
That was the third thing. Okay, because now the Ottavino thing, and I'm puzzling it all together. We traded Ottavino to the Red Sox, which was a little odd that it was Boston, but I expected him to be traded. That's $8 million, $9 million, whatever it was on the cap that's now gone. And then you go ahead and you sign Darren O'Day 2 days later to a 1 year deal for like $2.5 million, which is like really good. He's 38 years old, but he's put up really good stats in the 13 years he's been in the league, and he's just been consistent. He's a sidewinder. And I think that's a good replacement for like the righty specialist. And it's a much cheaper one. And Adam Ottavino hasn't been himself in the Bronx since like July 2019. The second half of 2019 on, he has not been that great of a pitcher. Like the way I'll always remember him to Ottavino, and he's a good guy. Like I have nothing against Adam Ottavino. It's just the way I'll remember him as a Yankees fan is the home run to Correa in game two in 2019. The home run to Springer, excuse me. And then I'll remember the 10-run inning against the Buffalo Blue Jays. I'm sure you remember that.
Of course. How can I not?
That was ugly. So, yeah, he's got a lot of talent. Hopefully that trade doesn't burn us when he's in Boston, but I don't really even expect the Red Sox to contend at all this year anyway. I don't think they're trying to win. So, yeah, that move made sense. And then you go ahead and pick up O'Day. Oh, my God, I forgot what happened this morning. Tanaka signed in Japan.
Oh, yeah, no. I thought that you were going to mention that. Yeah. So, obviously, big loss, but...
I mean, that sucks, but, like, yeah. I kind of saw it coming the way everything was kind of put together. And like,
It just makes sense. And, like...
It's a one-year deal. Like, I don't know. Like the kid side of me, because, like, I grew up watching Masahiro Tanaka. He's been a top 10 pitcher in the American League ever since he's gotten here. Look at the stats. Mm-hmm. He's been a top 10 pitcher in the American League. And he was a rock in the playoffs, you know? He was a stud for most of his playoff outings. He was just awesome. And it sucks to see him go, but.
Of course. But I mean, look, I think that, like you said, it fits in what the Yankees' future plans are. I wouldn't be surprised if this.
Yankees seem to really believe in their young arms. Exactly. Like Severino coming back. They believe in Garcia and Schmidt and Montgomery and Domingo Herman. They really think that at least I would imagine they think that at least two of those guys are going to pan out and be really good big league pitchers. I hope they're right, because you let Tanaka walk. I'd imagine they're letting Paxton walk, which doesn't really bother me. I don't think he was very good last year and very injury prone. His elbow was just not the same. He had a good first year in the Bronx, but yeah, they seem to really believe in these young guys. But after Gerrit Cole, there's a decent drop off in starting pitching talent. They have a lot of options, but I don't know if they're the best kind of options, you know what I mean? Like
I don't know. I feel like it's a wild.
If Kluber and Taillon end up being really good 2-3, I'm not going to complain. If Severino comes back and he's healthy, I'm not going to complain. If Davy Garcia or Clark Schmidt ends up being a stud at the end of the rotation, I'm not going to complain. I hope Domingo Germán comes back and has a good year, even though he's a D-bag. But, yeah, interesting moves the Yankees made. They, like I said, this just indicates they really believe in their young pitching. And then to finish off on the O'Day statement, I imagine that they'll probably use – the rest of that cap space to hopefully sign another bullpen arm. And I think that they'll re-sign Gardner to a 1-year deal for the fifth time in a row, which I don't really mind. Like if he's going to, I'd rather him play in New York than anywhere else. It's just a lot of the people that are huge Brett Gardner fans really annoy me because they like worship him and think he's better than Aaron Hicks and Clint Frazier, which is just a ridiculous fallacy. But yeah, if he comes back, I wouldn't really mind that. But then at that point, like, what are you going to do with Talkman? Because Talkman's just a cheaper option than Gardner, and he's already on the team. It's just like, well, you know, and the Yankees aren't going to make any big trades for like a Hendricks or a Castillo like we originally hoped.
No, I don't think so.
Were you going to say something about Didi Gregorius?
No, I was just going to say, like, the Yankees right now, I mean, their situation in terms of cap with the Yankees right now are overloaded with players that have the potential to be very good. And I think
we're like, so on the pitching side, we know
exactly
that
that's what I was going to say.
We know that the hitting is going to be good. We know they're going to hit, and we're, you know, like they have major league hitters. They're going to have a top three offense in the MLB. Like no one's surprised.
Yes. With the pitching, I think right now the Yankees have potentially one of the best rotations in the league. It's just a point of that. It's a very big potentially because there's still a lot of unprovenness. If that's not a word, but
yeah, we get what you mean.
Like, yeah. That you don't know right now how consistent Kluber is going to be. Obviously, like you said, Gerrit Cole is absolutely incredible.
Gerrit Cole is going to rock.
Like, I think that Kluber,
he's the best pitcher in the American League.
Yes. I think Kluber is also very good. It's just depending on how he's going to fit in this Yankees organization. If he's able to continue to put up good numbers, I don't know yet. And like you said, with that number five slot, you don't know who it's going to be. There's still so much. I mean, obviously, that's just going to come along with the season. That's going to come along with potential injuries, that kind of thing. But the Yankees, if they're able to kind of not even get lucky, but just if they're able to develop their players, if they're able to make sure that someone like a Kluber or I don't know. I just think that the Yankees could have a top three, top two pitching rotation in the entire league.
Well, think of it this way. How many teams other than – I'll name you three teams that I already know have a better rotation than the Yankees. The Dodgers, the Padres, and the Mets. All three of those teams are in the National League. Right now, on paper, in the AL, who is a better rotation? Like, maybe the White Sox. I don't think that the Astros have a better rotation than us anymore. The Rays let Morton walk, and then Snell got traded. So, I mean, like – like, who in the AL, like, other than, like, the White Sox who have Giolito and Lance Lynn and, like, a couple other guys, like...
Not really anybody.
Just, like, there's not that many better rotations if everything pans out correctly, and the Yankees seem to really believe in their young guys. And, you know, if Cashman's going to believe in them, I will too, because Severino was really good when he was developed. I could see Garcia having a similar season to maybe Severino in his third year or second year or whatever.
Garcia is young. I mean, what?
Yeah,
what
he's really young. He's like 22 and a starting pitcher in the major leagues. You got to be patient with guys like that. Clark Schmidt, they kind of eased him in a little bit more this year. I could see him having a much bigger role in the 2021 season. Domingo Germán was really good in 2019 before he hit his wife, but I mean,
that's so rough. Oh my God.
I know. It's so, like, it makes me angry, but like, I'm still going to hope that he has a good season, you know? Like, and then, yeah, you just got to hope that Kluber and Taillon can stay healthy as best they can. Like, I don't expect them both to make 30 starts each, but I love to see them each get 150 innings with a sub 3.5 ERA. Like, that might be asking of a lot of them. I'll say sub 4, but I don't know. They're both healthy going into spring. That's big. Severino will be back about halfway through the year. We'll ease him in. He'll be ready for October, and he won't be on an innings limit because he will be healthy come October. And it's just, it's a question mark. The bullpen's still going to be pretty good. As long as they have Britton, Chapman, Green, and now O'Day, I think hopefully maybe they'll sign Rosenthal to get another arm in there. And then, like, they've got guys like Loaisiga and Luis Sessa, who, if they can find their control, they're going to be really good out of the pen if they get some short innings. Yeah, and then we know they're going to hit. They re-signed their best hitter, DJ LeMahieu. Aaron Judge is a rock. He has to stay healthy. Stanton is a rock. He has to stay healthy. We've got some guys that probably still have a little bit more to prove, like Gio Urshela and Clint Frazier. Hopefully they can have another breakout year. Gleyber Torres, he needs to have a better year than he did last year. I'll tell you that much. He's got to play better. And then you round it out with like an Aaron Hicks and a Luke Voit, who, you know, have just been good in their roles. Like Aaron Hicks he gets his walks and he plays good defense. And Luke Voit was the American League home run king. So they're going to hit. The pitching is still a question mark. And while we're talking about baseball, because that's really all I have to say about the Yankees for now, the Mets have been really quiet.
And yes,
they have been linked to Trevor Bauer.
Yes. I mean, hold on. I saw their potential offer.
Yeah, 1 year, like $40 million. Would you really want to do
that? No.
Worth that AAV. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
right now it says New York's offer to Trevor Bauer is 3 to 4 years and less than $36 million on the record. And the Dodgers could have similar interest.
That's a good offer.
Exactly.
I can't believe the Angels aren't interested in him.
I agree. I think that the Angels should have been on top of this. I don't understand why they're not.
They were on top. They were on top of Cole, and then they failed that, obviously. I think they offered more than the Yankees, too. I think the Angels offered more to Garrett Cole than the Yankees, and he chose the Yankees. And then the Dodgers offered less. And, that was nuts that the Dodgers almost signed Cole. But I don't think about that enough. That would be just unfair. But, yeah, I think – I don't know. I think Bauer is either going to end up in Mets – with the Mets or with the Dodgers, dude.
Yeah. I mean –
at this point, like I don't think the Yankees are going to go over they're not going to go over the luxury tax. Because if they did, they would have done that already. But that's how you win in the MLB, dude. The Cubs went over when they won. The Red Sox went over when they won. The Giants went over. The Dodgers obviously went over a couple times. Like,
it's the price you got to pay.
Yeah. If you can do it, you should do it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I think that's all it is for in terms of baseball, though. We have a potential – I keep saying potential. We have a potential big week coming up with news with Trevor Bauer. But other than that, I mean, there's not really – too much going on. Maybe we'll have another Mets trade, or I don't think the Yankees are going to make any more moves.
I mean, they'll re-sign Gardner, and I pray that they don't give him like $7 million. Exactly. I hope that the Yankees take up a flyer on another reliever for maybe 4.5 and then give Gardner the other two and a half.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, that's about it though. I don't think that there's really anything else.
Yeah, the Yankees aren't going to like make a splash again.
Yeah, no, definitely not. All right. I think that's just about it for this episode. Obviously, we're hoping for something better coming up this week. Some more news, hopefully some Knicks wins and some Rangers wins, but we'll definitely we're hoping. What else can we do right now?
Yeah, I know. We're in the dog days. And, you know, like, these are not the fun months of the year anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. So that's about it. Let me just drop my socials real quick. I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Instagram and TikTok, it's at Big Apple Sports Media. On Twitter, it's Big Apple SP Media. You go with yours.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kyle 1E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, I mean, I don't know when we're gonna do another show when we have more news, because we had to wait like a week and a half to fill up enough news for a show. So,
and even then we didn't have that much. So we'll definitely see.
Yeah, Super Bowl's this week though. Super Bowl pick right now.
Super Bowl pick. I mean, I'm obviously going to root against Brady.
Who do you
know? Super Bowl's next weekend.
Oh yeah, I'm a dumbass. Sorry. I'm slow. I wasn't sure if we're gonna have another show before the Super Bowl. Whatever. I'm dumb.
You're fine.
I'm slow. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Thanks, guys.